This is bookcareers.com live, the podcast about careers in book publishing for people who are looking for a job, building a career, or who want to do their current job better. I'm your host, Suzanne Collier, the founder of bookcareers.com, and it's my job to solve career problems relating to the book world. Hello and welcome to episode 183 of bookcareers.com live. You might have seen in the trade press that our friends at the book trade charity BTBS have launched a huge fundraising campaign in their 185th year. And I'm wondering now if we should have delayed this episode to a number 185, but that's an opportunity missed. Anyway, today we are joined by the Chief Executive of BTBS, Victoria Perry. If you've never heard of BTBS or you think you know everything about them, do listen, as I'm sure you will learn more. Hello, Vic. Please, can you tell our listeners more about the book trade charity BTBS?
Yes, I would love to, Suzanne. Thank you. I've been with BTBS, for the book trade charity, for about a year and a half now, and I'm still learning stuff every single day about the way that the book trade is working and how we can help best. But to give you an idea, I think the way I like to think about it is that we are really the safety net for people who work in the book trade. So we support people from all walks of life. We say crisis doesn't discriminate, but crisis can strike at any time. And in a very quick second, if somebody's life changes, they need somebody that they can trust, that they can call, and sometimes they need a bit of financial support during that time. That could be for a variety of reasons. It could be bereavement, it could be redundancy, it could be a relationship breakdown, it could be a change of circumstance, a caring responsibility, a whole wide range of kind of factors that might bring people to us. So we say we're a safety net. We also, though, say that we are a springboard for young people, new people who are coming into the trade. We are really passionate about making it the most diverse and inclusive place that we possibly can. And that really means by using our charitable support to break down some of the barriers facing young people entering the trade. So, Suzanne, you'll be aware through the work that you do with Book Careers that we support people by funding their learning and development, by supporting their career development, by paying for interview supports, support by paying occasionally for things like deposits for houses to enable them to actually move to London, as well as things like the amazing bookbinders community that we're now growing over in North London. You know, for those listeners that aren't aware, we started the bookbinders cottages development and took the keys last year. Absolutely incredible, 17 beautiful units that are very safe, secure, and well situated for people who are working in London, and they are subsidised. So what that means is no deposit, but we're really trying to make it a place that people, a community, can really grow, of people from all walks of life across the book trade, people who are passionate about joining the industry. And that's working really, really well. The response has been terrific. And what we're hearing is that it actually enables people to take up those first jobs. So that's the kind of, I would say, the kind of springboard side of what we do. And in terms of who we help, it's literally anybody that needs us at that point. But the key thing is getting people the help, the right help that they need at the right time.
That's great. Thank you. You've just launched a major fundraising campaign. Please, can you share with us your aims for this campaign and who you would like to contribute?
Yeah, definitely. So one thing that became really, really clear to us when we looked at all of the work we had done last year is how much need is growing. Across our sector, across the trade. So individuals who are asking for our help need more help. And we were starting to see this trend, Suzanne, probably, I would say when I first came, we were starting to see it. And obviously, so much has changed even in the past 12 months. So if you think about us as a safety net for people who need our help, and that might be for a huge variety of reasons. So it could be that somebody has, yes, been made redundant. It could be that somebody is facing challenges with illness or with bereavement, a change of circumstance, a caring responsibility that has really ramped up. You know, it could be that somebody's on a low fixed income and really just needs some help. And we recognized very, very quickly that for many people that we support, we are a safety net, but we're also there as a, as we see ourselves as a springboard in the industry to help young people who are entering the trade come in. Because we know that there are so many barriers for young people, especially who are trying to join, you know, the industry that they love and are hugely passionate about and committed and dedicated. So we want to be there also to take down some of those barriers for people. And that's why you'll be aware we last year launched our Bookbinders Cottages over in Barnet in North London, with about 17 beautiful homes for primarily focused at young people who are coming into the trade, to give them a 2-year head start, really, to make sure that we're kind of breaking down some barriers, that they come into a place that is beautiful, clean, you know, well connected. You can be in central London in about 40 minutes, but also that is secure and is, you know, part of a community of other people who are passionate about joining our trade. And so that's been a huge, huge focus for us, as you can imagine, because we really recognise that having the opportunity for subsidised housing, about 35% cheaper than anywhere else, and a deposit free you know, arrangement is actually it's just a real boost to people. So you'll probably remember back in kind of a few years ago, we were fundraising really heavily to get that going. But then, of course, COVID hit us and it became, you know, it became a rolling COVID, you know, gosh, a huge fundraising appeal for people in COVID hardship. We gave, I think, around in excess of that £225,000 worth of grants over that period. We helped, you know, a huge amount of people that were struggling through COVID for a variety of reasons. And it became very clear to me that there were, you know, that there was one really remarkable thing about the charity, which was the personal connection, even in times where things were really, really busy, was still there. So our team led by, you know, led by Glenda on the grants front, people had those early quick conversations and then were able to progress their application really speedily. And that's something I'm really, you know, I'm really humbled by every day. Having worked in the charity sector for, you know, donkey's years, a long, long time, I think it's one of the really special things about the book trade charity, BTBS, is that actually we turn things around in days, not weeks, wherever we possibly can. So, you know, the pressure is up and we are constantly having conversations with people that might need our help. So to give you a feel, Suzanne, during COVID, we were turning our COVID hardship grants around in an average of 5 days. Which I think is really, you know, really phenomenal. And this appeal is a result of all of that learning around the past two, you know, two things that we've been fundraising for and driving forward as a charity. So now we recognise we're coming into a new phase where we need to really rally the whole sector behind us to bring attention to the need that is starting to emerge around the cost of living crisis. So we have launched a cost of living crisis appeal. We're calling it the 185 appeal because it's our 185th birthday, and because we want to raise £185,000, because we know that around that amount, just shy of 200,000, will help us with the additional workload we think we're going to have and protect our core services and our core work. So raising £185,000 will see us through to roughly kind of December 2023, and mean that we can still turn these grants around so quickly. So I know that's a long answer, but it's purely to say that we've learned so much through these other appeals about what matters to the trade and also what can really help people and individuals who work, you know, in the industry that we love. And we want to be there and be well prepared, because what we don't want to do is be in a position where we have to turn eligible colleagues away. You know, we really, that's what we're doing, everything that we physically can, but we know that we need every single voice, every single advocate, you know, up and down the trade in all parts of the country to really come together and help us to build momentum around this campaign.
Thank you. And that may have been a long answer, but that was a really encouraging and detailed answer. One thing, I don't think I'm disclosing any confidentiality here, but one thing that I'd just like to make people aware of, I mean, we can talk about some of the people that you've helped, but I don't think it's any kind of breaking any confidences here when I say that you, the BTBS, helped with all the fallout from all the people at Bertram's who lost their jobs unexpectedly, very suddenly, without redundancy payments. And that is something
also about the speed of the safety net. When I talk to clients who've approached other charities, they can be major charities, that big names, that they can be waiting 3 to 6 months before they even hear if they're qualified for a grant, let alone getting payment. So to hear that you turn things around, you know, usually 5 working days, is absolutely outstanding, and you should be totally proud of yourselves. Are there any other examples you could give us of people that you've helped, without breaking any confidentiality?
Absolutely. One of the things that we're, and I should just say, you know, it's in a small team. So we are so little as a charity. You know, we are not one of the major benevolent societies across the UK. But I have to just give mention to Glenda and the team who actually run the grants programme. And Glenda, actually, this is testament to all of her hard work, actually won last year an outstanding Lifetime Achievement Award from the ACO, the Association of Charitable Organisations, which was really a recognition of this personal connection and this speed of this agility. Because it is the primary focus to get things done. But I say again, we can only do that if we have money in the pot to be able to dish that out. So we can be speedy and keep up that momentum. And we're prepared to do that, as you know, we're always working to try to maintain that momentum. But actually, we need the whole trade behind us to make sure that we've got the money in the pot when we are very concerned about the rising cost of living and inflation. And particularly trying to gear up before October, when that energy price cap goes up again, because we know that that will be a pinch point for many individuals and families across the trade that we support. So to give you a feel, we always say crisis doesn't discriminate. So we say we work with people, you know, from all backgrounds, all walks of life. But of course, there are sometimes trends emerging, and there are people that we support that I'd love to highlight. So one of the things I have been doing over the past year is really trying to, you know, very sensitively and collaboratively work with some beneficiaries to pull out some of those stories, because I think it's really important that people can see the can connect with those stories and understand that we may be a charity that can also help them. So I'd love to share, if I may, just a story from one of our beneficiaries from our regular grant programme. Now, lots of people won't know, but regular grants is something that we do. It's a very special programme. And it's about 50% of our work. So it's a really significant part of what we do here at the Book Trade Charity, BTBS. Now, sometimes people need a regular grant because they have worked for a long time in a trade and haven't had a private pension. They've retired on a low fixed income. And so we are there with grants of up to £175 that are means tested and reviewed on an annual basis to help people with the cost of living. So to give you a feel of, you know, there may be a variety of reasons that people need those grants and want to access those grants. But one of them I wanted to share with you today with his permission. Chris was a bookseller and fell in love very young with another bookseller called Hill, and they moved down to the south of the country, southwest, and they opened a bookshop, which was their dream, in Taunton. And for a long time, this was wonderful. But unfortunately, then Hill was diagnosed and was very poorly. And it became apparent after a while that the best thing to do would be for Chris to close the bookshop and to take care of Hill through her illness. Now, unfortunately and very sadly, Hill passed away, which left Chris, in his words, he said, "It was like a switch being turned off, and I fell to pieces," because their lives had been entwined for over 20 years. And he says he was emotionally devastated, isolated, jobless, and eventually without a home. At that point, I was in relatively dire straits and I needed someone to turn to. And he says, "I then had a kind, caring and helpful conversation with the Book Trade Charity, all the thing that one needs when you're in that situation. I filled in the paperwork and it gave me back my confidence in humanity." So I'm really grateful to Chris for sharing those words, because I think it gives you a feel for why that support in good time is so important. Because as you rightly say, you know, absolutely, it's not unusual for grant makers to give their grants, you know, kind of after 6 weeks or maybe 2 months, 3 months. That's not unusual in the charity sector, and, you know, for very good reasons. But I think when you can provide and you are mobilised to provide support for people that is quick and that it is tailored and it is what people need at that point, actually, it can make all of the difference in the world.
It can. And a huge shout out to Glenda, like you did, because if you've ever spoken to Glenda, you know, sometimes I know people talk to me and they say, oh, Suzanne, you're being so calm over this. But when you talk to Glenda, Glenda is like calmness personified. In fact, I would actually say that Rudyard Kipling's If could be written for Glenda, about Glenda, because she'll love that, a total superstar. And that is what it is like when you talk. I can see she'll probably be inundated with phone calls just so people can experience what talking to Glenda is like. And I mean, I've spoken to Glenda at some of my lowest points. I won't go into too much detail. I think most people know that when I was in hospital, I came out of hospital and I had £1,000 bill for my car insurance because I'd been in an accident and all sorts of things. And BTBS covered that and managed to keep my car on the road, which, because I had been ill, was a huge, huge thing. And there's been other times too. But Glenda really is a total, total superstar. And is there anything that you want to share with our listeners who may qualify for help from BTBS today?
I guess there's a few things. Number one, I would love to just let people know a little bit about how we operate. So it is very personal. So the best thing to do if anybody's concerned about the cost of living crisis, or they are worried about increased bills, or they are, you know, they're not sure where to turn, it's always worth picking up the phone. And you will get through to one of our team. So please do pick up the phone and have a chat. Feel free to drop Glenda an email, glenda@btbs.org. She will also respond to those. You know, if people are eligible, it's a fairly straightforward process. So people have to complete a form. We do absolutely, it's means tested, which means that we do ask for quite a lot of information. So I want to be completely upfront about that. We ask for quite a lot of information so that we can be really consistent in the way that we approach giving out grants. We can't always help with, you know, with outstanding things in full, but we always assess and look at people's individual circumstance. So we might look at a few months' bank statements and understand actually what are people's situations like. And we use something called the Joseph Rowntree methodology. That's the minimum kind of income guidelines. And for some of you that may know Joseph Rowntree, it's an amazing organisation that really focuses on social justice and poverty in the UK. And what it does is it gives us that consistent approach. So we look at that every single time when an application comes in, so that we can be really, really clear, you know, how we think we can help best. Sometimes that is a regular grant. More often it will be a one-off grant. So it will be a one-off grant that you don't have to repay, that people can access to support them and get their life back on track. We also do have, we're kind of winding down now our COVID fund, it's been very, very successful. We're starting to wind that down a little bit, but we are really hopeful and excited about this new appeal, because that's the focus of it, is to get the grants pot back where we want it to be. So one thing I would love to share is that, Suzanne, the thing that has really spearheaded this whole thing, apart from the fact that it seems like the ideal time to do it on such a big birthday, when we can see that we need to gear up for everything that's around the corner and that is growing. And whilst we absolutely don't want to be part of the kind of scaremongering and the, you know, the media can be very, very intense when it comes to cost of living, and people, you know, can feel very frightened and anxious about that. We don't want to feed into that fear, but we do want to say very clearly you that this is why we exist. And we do need every single kind of voice, every supporter. You know, if you can donate, wonderful. If you can share so that other people might donate, wonderful. If you can have conversations with your company, with your organization, or with your clients in the book trade about getting behind this campaign, wonderful. You know, every single, you know, thing that people can do will make a difference, and will go directly to support colleagues who will need us. So I also wanted to just share something that we've been doing some active listening, speaking to some of our beneficiaries and asking them what their concerns are, you know, about the cost of living rises, the inflation that's around the corner. And we are hearing, you know, in confidence from people who are saying, I am scared of losing my home. You know, I am going to have to give up my car. I'm worried about putting food on the table for the kids. You know, these are very resilient people who are going, who know how to manage, you know, to an income, to a budget. And the big increases are something that I think is on all of our minds. So, you know, from my perspective, the more companies that want to get involved, the more fundraising that we want to do as a, you know, as a community, it will all add up and make a huge difference to our ability to be able to be there for people.
And this is something that I've noticed over the years of working with BTBS is how few publishing companies actually have you as their preferred charity for donations, which actually is really, really appalling, and to put a word, because you are the charity that supports the people within the book industry. And one of the things I would like to encourage our listeners to do is, if you can sort of, I mentioned, I think, in the last one about walloping somebody over the head, and people think I'm very, very violent, but I'm quite a pacifist, really. But if there's something you can do to nudge your employers to support the book trade charity, where a little money goes a long, long way, or you could have a coffee morning, a bake sale, or do something, you know, 100%. Organize a social event. I know the SYP does quiz evenings that benefit BTBS. If there's something you can do, now is the time to get active. And if you contact Glenda or Vic, either of them will be more than happy to share with you what they can do. Now, the Book Trade Charity also has book sales.
We do.
Where you can, which have done books, new books donated by publishers. Mm-hmm. And you could even just encourage, I mean, one of the publishers I worked for, every time we tidied up our office shelves of, yeah. You know, where we'd sent a sample out or it come back, or we'd ordered a sample from the warehouse, all the excess samples all went to the Book Trade Charity for research. Yes. So that's something else you can do. But take action, I think, is the message here.
Now is the time. I think absolutely now is the time to get behind it, because, you know, we've got a brilliant team, a brilliant board. But you're right, not everyone knows us. We're so grateful to the support that we do have from the trade. Let's just be really clear. It's about, you know, it's probably a good part of our income comes through support from largely from companies. But don't underestimate what a little bit from lots of people can also do. We're not going to go out and ask people to give during a time where people are worried about being strapped for cash. But we are saying we're here, and that, you know, we would just love any support from people. And like you say, that can also be in lots of different ways, but always worth having that chat with employers for sure.
That's great. Thank you. To find out more about the Book Trade Charity, please go to btbs.org or follow them on Twitter at BTBS Charity. If it's career support that you're looking for BTBS, I'm probably the best point of first port of call. So book into our careers clinic, because I'm not sure if you're aware, I'm the preferred supplier for all the career support for the Book Trade Charity. This is why we work very much in tandem. And if you can either go direct to BTBS and they'll refer you back to me for a chat, or you can book into our careers clinic, because if you've booked into the careers clinic, you'll know I'll often ask you just a few general questions. And what I'm doing within those, getting those answers, is actually pre-screening you to see if you qualify for career support from the Book Trade Charity. You need to have worked in the book trade for a year to get the support. Sometimes a little bit of flexibility, but not much.
To jump in there, it's a year for our welfare one-off grants and regulars. Yeah. But for obviously for entrance to the trade, we recognise that people won't have a year's. Yeah. You know, absolutely.
That's great, and that's the thing. So if you can have a chat to me if it's career support. Just book into our careers clinic on the Book Careers website. Or my email, as always, is suzanne@bookcareers.com. Thank you, Vic. That's been really, really helpful, informative. And to anybody listening, go out and fundraise, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Suzanne. Thanks for having me.
Now it is your opportunity to join in the live discussion. You can find us across social media using the hashtag BookCareers or on Twitter @BookCareers or me personally, Suzanne Collier. Or visit our own platform at bookcareers.com/live. Thank you for listening. May you all be doing a job you love and being paid the salary that you so richly deserve.